Kingdom of Nye. We continue with your calls on Dreamland with Art Bell. Call Art now toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-TALK. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. 727-1295 in the 702 area code. Now again, here's Art Bell.
The only number we didn't give you there is the East of the Rockies number, which is 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. My guest is Glenn Campbell. He'll be back in a moment. I'm telling you, grab a pencil. I'm going to give you some important information right now. As you know, the edition of the newsletter about to be mailed to you has in it the five incredible Roswell photographs by exclusive permission of Ray Santilli. And those are coming out here shortly, on their way to you. Now, second item. The Hale-Bopp comet coming in, which I call Bebop, big thing out there beyond the orbit of Jupiter. We have got a photograph of it, and it's a beaut. It's going in the next newsletter. Actually, there are two. Glenn Campbell. Glenn, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, let's go out east of the Rockies and say good evening. You're on the air with Glenn Campbell.
Hello.
Hi, where are you?
Scott in Denver.
Okay, Scott, you're going to have to speak up. You're a little weak.
Oh, okay, how's that?
Better, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Glenn if there's been any kind of sightings or anything seen up in Tonopah. There are sightings everywhere in the West. The whole question is, how do you distinguish the good ones from the bad ones?
Yeah, well, just, you know, similar to what Area 51, you know, people have been seeing there.
Well, like Art Bell's sighting, you hear that popping up every now and then, a triangular craft, like in Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Tonopah, I've not heard of anything specifically recently.
Okay.
Now, the Tonopah, the town, and Tonopah, the base, are two different things. Mm-hmm. There is another semi-secret base, not much unlike Groom Lake, near the town of Tonopah. It's called the Tonopah Test Range. And that's also been a place for the testing of top secret aircraft. There's speculation about what must be going on there. Many of the same aircraft that would be tested at Groom would also be tested there. Mm-hmm. Plenty of rumors, but no substantial facts.
All right, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Hi.
Hi, this is Brendan from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay, turn your radio off, Brendan.
Okay.
And go ahead.
Believe it or not, I'm working on the S4 UFO as we speak, and I'm kind of curious as far as, I really don't want to question.
Wait a minute. You mean the model of it?
Yes, Bob Lazar's model.
Bob Lazar. Right. That's very important you specify, otherwise we're going to sit here thinking you're working on a saucer.
I am. Technically, it's plastic, though.
All right.
Well, in the top section of the model, there is no account for what goes in that section, and I question, you know, why would, you know, directly anyone let someone see this aircraft and not give them access to that area? I mean, obviously he's in a top secret, you know, form as far as he's gone to the highest levels of security to see this aircraft exist.
You're referring to the turret, the very, very top part of the saucer, I imagine.
Yes.
Well, just being a top secret, having top secret clearance doesn't give you access to everything. Things are top secret compartmentalized, which means that you have access only to the absolute minimum that you need to see. This is true in all top secret projects. There's no sense in you knowing about that turret, Bob Lazar knowing about that turret, if he has no business being there. It has no technical need to be there.
In other words, it would be risking knowledge for no gain, and they don't do that.
They don't do that. Now, the other source, J-Rod, says that what he has seen what is up there in that turret. In the model that he was working with, and it's a navigation system. There are little windows along the side of that turret, and it's used to sight on stars or whatever.
And this is exactly how information is gathered, isn't it, Glenn? In other words, a piece here, a piece there, and you piece it all together.
You put it all together into a big puzzle, and if you do, certain inconsistencies will come up if the stories are in fact false, or if they're true, you see a much richer set of connections. You see, reality is different from a lie in that reality has a lot of rich connections with other parts of reality. And this is how you tell when someone's telling the truth or someone is lying.
It's interesting. In a way, you're using the government's own method of making determinations against them.
Well, this is standard logic, is what it is.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Hi.
Hi, Glenn. I'd like to talk about the aliens because I'm pretty much convinced that the UFOs are either, you know, U.S. or maybe possibly Russian military planes. So in the Bible, in the Apocalypse of the Catholic Bible, chapter 16.
Sorry. We don't allow that on this program. Thanks for the call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Hi.
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 How you doing?
I'm doing.
Is this Art Bell?
It is.
Hi. Glenn Campbell, yes.
I'm so glad I got through.
Where are you?
I'm in Nevada.
Nevada, all right.
In Carson City.
Okay.
I was very...
Turn your radio off.
Okay.
Everybody has to do that or they get confused because there is a delay. All right, go ahead.
There we go. First, I wanted to say that I am enjoying your programming very much. And I, too, have seen a UFO. Also, I'd like to ask you, I watched the news very carefully for a few days after that interview with Mr. Scallion.
Yes.
And I never heard a thing about the earthquake in Chile.
Okay. This doesn't relate to my guest, does it?
Not really.
Okay. Well, the earthquake did occur.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
You can check USGS figures and you'll hear about it. So, any question for my guest?
Shoot, anything you want.
Anything I want.
Yeah.
Okay. I have seen UFO a long time ago. And I was wondering how much activity there was over Nevada at this time.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
How much activity is there, Glenn?
My personal sense, I mean, no one is really collecting all the sighting reports nationally because there's just so many of them. And there's so much work to be done in distinguishing the good from the bad. My personal sense is that, yes, there's a lot of sightings in Nevada, but there's a lot of sightings all over the country.
Are there more here, though, arguably, than elsewhere?
That's a good question. I'm in Nevada, and this is all I'm exposed to, so I can't say. I just don't know.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, turn your radio off and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Okay. My name is Mike, and I'm calling from Lexington, Kentucky.
Lexington, Kentucky. Okay, Mike.
Yes, I'm a little bit confused on the secrecy aspect of this. What can you legally view and not get into trouble? Can you take a hot air balloon up with a telescope and look, or what can you do?
Well, as I say, there are all these mountaintops, very distant, but technically you can view the base from a legal vantage point by climbing up to the top of an 8,000-foot mountain.
Well, his question is a good one, though. Suppose you went just outside the airspace that they have closed off, and you took a hot air balloon up.
Yes, you could do that, but you'll have to be a good distance away, 13 miles away, before you'll hit the unrestricted airspace. And yes, you could do that. You can fly a small plane. People have done this. Fly a small Cessna along the border. However, in a Cessna or in a balloon, you're dealing with a lot of shaking, a lot of forces. And generally, it's not going to be very satisfying, especially if you have to use a telephoto lens to see anything at the base. No one's tried it, though. No one has really done anything seriously in this realm.
All right. So there you go, Kentucky. Maybe you'll be the first. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay, good. Welcome.
Thank you.
That's it. You're on the air. No screeners. Go ahead.
Okay. My question to Glenn is what he thinks about Phil Klemp. Some people feel as though he is actually a tool of the government in the fact that he refuses to believe in there is any kind of activity and is very adamant in saying the government is not hiding or covering up anything as far as UFOs.
Oh, it's a very good question. And on the Larry King show the other night, once again, they brought forth the specter of Mr. Class, who, Glenn, I would almost, I've had him on the show and we've done debates, I would almost put him in the category of the cult of non-believers.
Indeed, I know him fairly well. We exchange newsletters, in fact.
Uh-huh.
And I find his newsletter very, very interesting and very amusing. But Mr. Class, I don't believe that he is a government agent. I believe that he is pursuing a viewpoint that he believes in. And his viewpoint excludes any human testimony. It's saying that if a human told you that he saw a light in the sky, or a human told you he was abducted by aliens, you have to discount it because humans are unreliable. That is his basic viewpoint, and it has a certain validity. You have to understand how this man thinks, and I think that intellectually you have to deal with his objections. They are generally well grounded.
But what about same category, name Carl Sagan?
Carl Sagan, I don't know as much about as I know about Phil. Carl Sagan has. It just seems to be a sourpuss in my view. But I can't comment too much on his personality. I just don't know him.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, another one, St. Paul. All right. Welcome. Turn your radio off.
Yeah, I get it.
Yep, right away.
Yeah.
Okay. Your first name?
Bob.
Okay, Bob. What's your question?
Well, it's kind of a question. You may have talked about it, but there was a book that came out, The Philadelphia Experiment, and in it they talked about a physicist or a researcher named Brown.
Townsend
and evidently
Brown.
He had developed... Pardon?
Townsend Brown.
Who?
Townsend Brown.
Townsend, yeah, that's the one. And he had developed some kind of a capacitor, which evidently would give... Would defy, somehow reduce gravity or chew up gravity waves or something like that. And, you know, this sounds like a real propulsion method that could be used. I mean, you just need a bunch of energy is all it is. It's just basically a capacitor, a positive and a negative plate. And, you know, this sounds like one way to simply do this. Now, I don't know if you've run into that or not, I guess I...
Well, this is very similar to the explanations that are given by Bob Lazar and my source, J-Rod.
Oh, really?
That there is, I'm not a physicist, I'm afraid I don't fully understand it, but there's something to do with the electrical field around the craft that somehow manipulates gravity. Bob Lazar also talks about these gravity amplifiers. I think that if I were a little bit smarter in this field, I could integrate it together a little bit better. But it's not something to be completely dismissed, that maybe electricity, there's some aspect of electrical fields that we don't understand that could affect gravity.
Well, I think the interesting thing about it is that evidently Brown could never get anyone to buy his invention, but supposedly, and energy was a problem, supposedly he went over to the French and he attached some big long, for want of a better term, like an extension cord, and plugged in a lot of power to this thing, and they actually got it going off the ground and kind of flying around, you know, remotely on this kind of this tether or this umbilical cord. So I think the thing about Lazar, if I understand, is he says that there's this element from some other planet that produces this tremendous amount of energy, and that seems to be the limiting factor that...
What element was that?
Element 115.
115,
yes,
that's right.
Indeed, and again, true or false, he picked a very good element to be involved here, because this is a gray area where we don't quite know what these elements do, because we've never produced them here.
We continue, however, to occasionally hear news of development of a new element headed toward the 115 number.
Indeed, but there's an awful lot of energy has to be put into this reaction to get those elements. When we're talking about element 112, I guess, which might be the latest.
Yes.
You have to dump tons and tons of energy into your cyclotron or whatever you're producing this with to get even a few atoms of this item.
Of 112,
and
right.
It's very unstable when it's produced.
That I've also heard. All right, hold on for a second, Glenn. Fascinating area. Nevertheless, we have reached 112, so perhaps in three more Just three more quantum leaps to new elements and we'll all be in saucers. We'll be right back. If you feel the desire to control your own work hours, your work environment, be your own boss, choose your own work computer. Campbell, hi. Hello there. No, I'm sorry, you're not. Hold on for just a second. Let me redo this. Now, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell.
Yes, Glenn.
Hi.
You said any question? Are you married? No, I'm just kidding. I think you're par excellence because right off the top, you said your job was to gather information and disseminate it so that we could hold them accountable and responsible. My question is, do you have any knowledge of about 8 or 10 years ago on a local show, they had a call from a fellow who had worked in the government and said they were doing some experimentations on crossbreeding of animals and humans.
Ooh, that's a weird one.
That's just one level beyond where I want to be investigating. I think there's a big world of the unknown out there. I think I'm just trying to take things one step at a time. And I've heard no substantial stories along those lines. I'm sort of trying to concentrate on nailing down even one or two UFOs, you know.
You like the nuts and bolts part.
Yeah, I sort of follow the little Lazar gospel, quite frankly.
Lazar gospel. All right, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Where are you?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
all right.
I'm the country here.
All right.
My dad is very unemotional, and he's not into anything really except for teeth, you know, he's a dentist. But I asked him the other day, do you believe in UFOs? And he said, well, I've seen one. And I said, what? And he said, well, when I was 9 years old, when he lived in South Africa, he was laying under a tree and he saw a thing in the sky and it was going too fast. So he knew, you know, they didn't have that back then. He's 60. He just turned 60. And I said, well, what did it look like? You know, and he said, a cigar. And it was going real fast. And so anyways, the other day, about June or so, I saw this, round thing. It was like, well, since I've started listening to your program, I've heard other people say these, you know, green fireballs. And that's what I saw. And so what are those, you know?
All right. Glenn, I've seen those, too. Big old green fireballs. They can be seen easily from Las Vegas.
You've got to realize, first of all, that a meteorite, when it enters the atmosphere, can be any color at all. The color depends on the composition of the meteorite.
Sure.
So if there's copper in it, I believe, then it's going to be green. So you have to be able to distinguish that from something else. You have to say, is this a meteorite before you say something else? And, you know, like all of these things, I'm not there, so I can't really evaluate it. The most I can do is record it and take down the particulars. I've become rather discouraged with lights in the sky for that reason, that just even if it's a good sighting, you just don't know what to do with it.
That's exactly right. I generally tell people, oh, yes, the green fireballs, they are delivering the pods to Earth. Glenn, hold on. We'll be right back to you. We're at the bottom of the hour. Glenn Campbell, the world's expert, I guess, on Area 51, short of anybody in the military, out here in civilian life. Don't forget, if you'd like to order our newsletter, you may do so 24 hours a day. It is busy. Please keep trying. Yes, the comet photo is going to be in there. Next issue. The number is 1-800-917-4278. 1-800-917-4278. Mean and arbitrary to cut that lady off earlier who was about to quote scripture, but that is one rule. I probably allow more discussion of religion than nearly any program on the air, but I do not allow quoting of scripture. For that, we rely on church and Sunday, or whatever day you choose, and that's fine, but we don't do that here. And the other rule is no bad language and one call per program. Observing all those rules, we'll get along fine. Now, the east of the Rockies line, the only one not given in a little phone number bump there, is 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033 if you're east of the Rockies, toll free. Now, a quick word about Linda Howe. You heard Linda Howe much earlier in the program. If you want to know more about her and what she does, listen carefully.
If you enjoy Dreamland's weekly news segments by Linda and first-hand eyewitnesses, Linda Moulton Howe's two books, An Alien Harvest and Glimpses of Other Realities, are acclaimed for their quality, depth, photographs, and drawings. If you are interested in learning more about the mysterious animal mutilations, crop circles, UFO sightings, the human abduction syndrome, and government knowledge about these worldwide phenomena, you will enjoy these books and videos, available directly from LMH Productions. You can dial 1-800-707-9993 to order. That's 1-800-707-9993.
Now, back to the man who knows about it, Glenn Campbell. Glenn, are you there?
I'm here.
Good. Let's go east of the Rockies and say hi. You're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Where are you calling from, please?
Vermont.
Vermont. All right.
Yes. I have a question. Back in the early 70s, I used to be a paper boy, and I'd always read the paper, and there was a lot of things in the paper about the UFOs, and then all of a sudden it died. I was wondering if Mr. Campbell knows anything about that.
All right. I'll broaden the question a little bit. Glenn, it seems to go in great cycles, doesn't it?
It does, and I've been on, have observed the media firsthand. I've seen, which is essentially a big blip in the media over Area 51, and the people are always saying this must be part of the government plan to release the information. And no, I don't believe that. I believe that the media naturally goes through these cycles. Interest naturally goes through cycles, and once one large media organization jumps on a UFO story, then everybody else follows, and then sooner or later we become satiated with that story, and it drops off for a while.
All right. With stories like Roswell and this comet and all the rest of it, we must be... Plus, there have been a lot of sightings lately. It seems like... Would you say we're at a sort of a high point in a cycle?
Certainly, we're at a high point, and it could keep on going like this. Certainly, if any news got released, it would keep on going. But anyone's guess as to where it's going to go now.
All right, very good. Back to the lines. You're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Good evening. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, when one looks at statistically from the amount of stars in the universe, the concept that there is some other form of intelligent life in the planet is, to me, statistically highly likely. I don't feel that there's an impossibility that UFOs exist. I think that it's quite possible by statistical analysis. And I think that as far as the technological advancements that are going to be made, I think that they are predominantly made by the military. They're predominantly discovered by the military, unfortunately, ever since the atomic weapons. And the public will not be able to look forward to total openness on issues of leading edge technology. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for saying it. I'd agree with that statement. Would you?
Well, sure. Everyone says, with all this million stars, there has to be intelligent life. I don't think anyone in the world has much discomfort about that feeling. But when it gets down to particulars, which aliens are real and which UFOs are real, that's when people get squeamish, and certainly the mainstream gets squeamish.
Sure. All right, back to the lines. West of the Rockies. Whoops, you would have been on the air. Let's make it east of the Rockies. You're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Hi.
Hi, I just have a question for... Is this Art?
Yes, it is. Where are you?
I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota.
All right.
This is Andy.
Yes.
I was just wondering if there's any other way I could get the 5 photos of the Roswell autopsy besides your newsletter.
Well, I gave you the number for the computer bulletin board. Those are the two ways that I have provided. I'm sure they're on the internet. If you have a computer, I don't know of any other way offhand.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Right. That's... You're welcome. Best I can do for them. Best I've done. I'm a lot like you are, Glenn. I try and get information out every way I can. We're lucky to have the internet.
Yes. Certainly, if you were to surf the web, you would find those pictures, I'm
absolutely.
Sure.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell.
Hey, hello, Art.
Hello.
Hello, Glenn.
Hi.
Hey, I can barely hear you fellas, but,
Okay, where are you?
This is the professor from Columbus, Georgia, Art.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Did
you receive my fax from last... Well, not really my fax, but did you receive a fax from a party close to me last night?
I'm sorry. Well, I think I do recall something. Anyway, do you have a question for our guest?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, as you know, I've been investigating the UFO phenomenon for some time now, Art. I believe me and you've spoke on it a number of times. A lot of people have heard me talking with you on the radio, and they say, is that you? Mr. Glenn Campbell, about 3 months ago, I took down a lot of the desert rats and studied them.
Right.
And that's very interesting. And the perception I got from you was one strictly as someone searching for truth.
Okay.
Now, tonight, I'm pretty sure I heard you tell Art that you believe that there is alien intelligence. However, you feel it is non-threatening. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. You're not going to like what I've got to tell you.
Okay.
And it's not real good. There are no aliens.
Okay.
And the closer I look into it, the more proof I have found. There is an intelligence that is working in a great number of directions, and I will be ridiculed and mocked and whatever, and I really don't care. But this intelligence is working in so many different avenues, and G. Gordon Liddy said it is not coming together at a central point. However, I happen to know it is.
What are you talking about, sir?
Strictly from a scientific standpoint, there is an evil entity that's at work that has one thing on its mind, and that is the mutual assured destruction of humans and non-human beings.
All right, and what
sounds
is...
Sounds like Satan to me.
Yeah, call it what you like.
All right, thank you. We'll go ahead and call it that. And that is generally the religious view, isn't it, Glenn? That is,
well, indeed, I haven't explored Satan at all. I don't really know.
Well... it is an area that, while, as I said earlier, I don't allow scripture quoting, I don't mind exploring it, it's as likely as any other, that this could be spiritual, or it could be satanic, or it could be one of many things. Do you dismiss that?
Well, it's just something I can't talk about. I don't know, for example, to argue with that gentleman who was on the line, I think would be futile, because...
Yeah.
He already has his ideas.
I know.
There's no real intellectual.
I know. I know. But nevertheless, it's as good as anybody else's point of view.
Sure.
And I was just wondering, do you dismiss it or allow it as one of the possibilities, or?
I'm a nuts and bolts guy. I like to look for things that I can check.
All right.
Satan is just something I can't check.
Oh, well, at least not yet.
Not yet.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Hi.
Yeah, I have a question for Glenn.
All right, where are you?
I'm in San Jose, California.
San Jose, okay. Turn your radio off and go right ahead.
Yes, I was wondering if copper would attract any kind of a energy from space.
I have no idea. No idea.
Why do you ask that?
Because my father, once he was in Fresno, where they have copper mines, and he saw some lights up there.
Ah.
Well, all I would say to you is, you remember the expression pennies from heaven?
No.
No, well, okay. Well, maybe you're...
Well, this is certainly a plausible theory that the aliens need some sort of mineral from Earth, and that's why they're coming here. And one mineral I've heard of from Mr. J-Rod is boron.
Boron.
So invest in boron.
I like that idea a lot better than humans as... nutritional value.
Yeah, well, it's a senseless waste of humans, I would think.
It depends on your point of view. I mean, from the cow's point of view, I'm sure that hamburgers are a senseless waste.
Senseless waste of cows, correct.
That's right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Hi. Hello? No, you're not. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell.
Hello, this is Fritz from Phoenix calling.
Hi, Fritz. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's fairly obvious that the staff of Area 51 is listening in to Dreamland, and especially tonight. You know, it's kind of, that doesn't make, it's a non-brainer to realize that.
Of course they listen.
And now, the name Bob Lazar has come up quite a bit.
Bob Lazar.
But
yeah.
We also have to give credit to John Lear and George Knapp.
Absolutely.
It was George Knapp who gave Area 51 a quality exposure.
I wouldn't disagree with that at all. Thanks, Fritz. George Knapp, a guest here many, many times, once part of a program I did prior to this, an investigative reporter for a CBS affiliate in Las Vegas, and has done a lot of very good work on Area 51, and John Lear, who is a very good friend of mine, also has done a great deal of work. Glenn, John has said some things, though, about the aliens that go beyond, I'm sure, where you would be willing to go. And John actually does connect it and does think it possible they are evil entities. Really has moved in that direction in the last few years.
Certainly.
And you agree with that assessment of where he's gone?
Again, I don't make those interpretations. I'm like Bob Lazar. I stick to the facts, and I think Bob would probably agree with me that he doesn't have that that inclination to say they're good or evil.
But John has actually come to the point where he firmly believes they're evil, number one, and number two, will finally dispense the advice, something awful is going to happen, just lead your life, love your family, enjoy the time you have left. Stand by, Glenn, I'll be right back to you. He's made statements of that sort on my program. It's pretty chilling stuff, and it's particularly chilling because he says it with a certain very calm kind of resignation that would chill you if you heard it. And on that note, we'll be right back. You don't have to put up back to Glenn Campbell, and I want to give Glenn toward the end of the show here an opportunity to once again say, Glenn, if they go to the World Wide Web and they do a web search, what keyword would they use to get to your website?
Well, the surefire bet would be to search for UFOs, because all those UFO pages are pretty well linked together.
Right.
And you could also try searching for Desert Rat. And what you're looking for is the Groom Lake Desert Rat or my Area 51 page, all of which have everything I know.
How do you feel about being called the Groom Lake Desert Rat?
Well, that's the name of the newsletter, but I am pleased to be a desert rat indeed.
Yes.
Now, there, for people who are not on the Internet, I can send them a free catalog by snail mail, as we call it.
Snail mail.
And
yeah, all right, before you give it out, is this the same address as the Area 51 Viewer's Guide?
That's correct.
All right, which is $19, which then that includes shipping and handling.
That's correct.
All right. The address for that or the free
catalog,
all right, yes. Is?
Publications relating to Area 51. Just drop me a line at Area 51 Research Center in Rachel, Nevada, 89001. All you really have to remember is that zip code, 89001, and I'll send you the catalog.
All right. Well, that's a great offer. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Hi.
Yes, I'm calling from Columbia, Missouri. I'm a 16-year-old science student here, and I have a couple topics that I'd like to discuss. The first, the crop circles I just heard them mention. The producers of the crop circles have already come forth as a bunch of punk teenagers. I mean, me personally, I believe in UFOs and other intelligence, but I think this is one topic that needs to be put to rest.
Well, this is already way out of my field because I just don't deal with crop circles.
That's in Linda Howe's field, and when we have her as a guest, you're welcome to call, sir.
Okay.
She would have some strong opposite arguments, but that's not the time for the question. What else do you have?
The sightings, I think the reason there are more sightings now, people aren't afraid to come out. It's more of a open area. And
That certainly could be true, and better communication as well.
Right. For the caller that called in, brought to the attention the religious aspect.
Yes.
Of that. I think that was a feeble attempt to make an intellectual argument, and I think anybody that doesn't believe that there's other intelligent life in the universe is maybe very non-intellectual and egotistical.
All right. Well, I appreciate the opinion and the call, and I don't know where else we'd go with that. First time caller line, you're on the air with Glenn Campbell. Hello.
Yes, Mr. Campbell.
Hi.
Hi. I was wondering, when I get on the World Wide Web, I'm looking for camo dudes.
Camo Dude.
Yeah, you know
I don't know if they have a web page.
Okay, can you get it from the web page?
Camo Dude is our name for the security guys that hang out on the along the border. We can, because they're in camouflage fatigues, but I don't think you'll find them. They have their own web page.
No. What I'm talking about is the manual that you had.
Oh, okay. Well, there is a security manual that has been placed on the internet, a security manual for the Camo Dudes, in fact, describing some of their functions.
I'm connected to that, but I didn't know if I was getting a write-up or if I was getting the actual manual that you put on there. It didn't make the connection. It kind of blinked there for a second and went back to the main web page.
Oh, you're talking about a technical problem. I can't say. You probably should send me an email message at one of those addresses there. And did you get to a main page, an Area 51 page?
Well, I did, like you said, I typed in Desert Rat in the web crawler.
Okay. I would say search for find any UFO page at all.
Right.
And that will eventually lead you to the Desert Rat, to the Area 51 page, where you'll find the security manual and other things.
Okay, I'd like to ask you, too, how come you don't like Chuck Clark?
Who?
We don't want to talk about individual people. I think we don't want to be flinging mud at each other. But obviously in the UFO field, as in every field, you have a lot of rivalries going on and a lot of bad blood, and this is just the way humans are.
Well, that's a good final question. We're about out of time. I sure would like to see a lot of the UFO community heal, and it sort of rips itself apart bit by bit, doesn't it?
Well, this is the way humans are. I think that if you have any field, especially UFOs, where you have no solid base of agreement to begin with, no one can agree what UFOs are, never mind on what we should be doing about them. What you see is humans doing what they do best, which is arguing with each other. And I think this is inevitable, and there's nothing particularly wrong with that.
And so it shall go on. Glenn Campbell, it has been a pleasure.
It's a pleasure here as well.
We're out of time. We'll do it again sometime. The great master, Area 51. Glenn, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Glenn Campbell, indeed a pleasure to have him on. And I'm sorry, we're governed by the clock. We must go. But once again, remember some fascinating stuff. It's going to be published in our newsletter. And So, by all means, order it. The order number for our newsletter at $29.95 a year, worth every penny, is 1-800-917-4278. Just keep trying until you finally get through. 1-800-917-4278. I'm Art Bell from the high desert near Dreamland. Good night.
This has been Dreamland, a program dedicated to an examination of areas in the human experience not easily nor neatly put in a box. Things seen at the edge of vision, awakening a part of the mind as yet not mapped. Yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. Please join us again next week at this time for Dreamland.